Let's go to Sarah Johnston now. 50 years ago this weekend, when we first set foot on the moon, there was no live TV coverage of the momentous event in New Zealand. There was no live Facebook feed either, and we weren't tweeting our reactions. Instead, Kiwis were glued to their transistor radios. Today, Sarah Johnston from the Sound Archives of Ngā Taonga Sound and Vision looks back at how we heard the moon landing. And Sarah, I feel like some people might remember seeing it live, if that makes any sense.
We probably feel we did.
Yeah.
But it actually happened. So it happened here on, it was a Monday morning when the lunar lander actually touched down. But we didn't actually get to see it until it was a delayed TV broadcast later that Monday night. And that was after a special flight was put on by the RNZAF and delivered a TV tape from Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is way back in the day before we had, I guess they couldn't have sent it by satellite for some reason. So if you were glued to your radio back in 1969, listening to the news, I had a look back in listener magazines, and you know there was special coverage going on, and programs were being, you know, broken in two with announcements throughout the day. It probably meant you had a, you know, little battery powered transistor, or if you were at school, because it was, you know, a school day on a Monday, your teacher might have turned on that mysterious speaker which we have talked about in the past.
Yeah, we talked about whether the headmaster could hear you as well as
That's
you hearing
right.
him.
Whether they were two-way, that speaker up on the wall of New Zealand school classrooms,
right.
Usually just for broadcast schools, but I have heard from people who were at school who said that it was turned on because this was, you know, a special event. So here we go. This is the first cut. This is what the world heard at around 8:17 in the morning, New Zealand time.
3 feet, 2.5. Picking up some dirt. 3 feet, 2.5 down. Right down. Forward, drift into the right level. Ready? 9.5. 30 seconds forward. Ready? Contact right. Okay, engine stop. APA at a descent. Auto control, both auto, descent engine command override off. Engine arm off. 413 is in.
We copy you down, Eagle.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Tranquility Base. I was talking to the guy from the control room last week. He said that was the first time they'd ever heard that phrase, Tranquility Base, but it was such a perfect way to capture the moment.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's straight out of Thunderbirds, isn't
it?
Which, you know, kids from that generation would have been totally into. So, yes.
Amazing they had the technology to be getting that connection from the moon to Earth and then around the world back in 1969.
Yes. Well, there's a lot. The next cut, I have edited a wee bit because there was a bit of to and fro between the Eagle and Houston about making sure they had a good TV connection and a good radio connection. So this next cut, which is of the really big moment, you know, when Neil Armstrong steps onto the moon's surface, that was, so this is several hours later now on that day. This is at around 3 o'clock New Zealand time. And, you know, he intended to say, or he says that he did say, that's one small step for a man and, you know, one giant leap for mankind. But you can't hear the man in the transmission. And it's apparently some people have done some, you know, clever digital analysis of the recording and now think that he did actually say but it was being obscured by the static. I can't hear it myself. But anyway, here we are. Here's that famous cut.
Okay, Houston, I'm on the porch.
Roger, Neil.
Neil Armstrong on the porch at 109 hours, 19 minutes, 16 seconds.
Okay, everything's nice and straight in here.
Okay, can you pull the door open a little more?
Right. Did you get the Mesa out?
I'm going to pull it down.
Houston, the Mesa came down, all right.
And we're getting a picture on the TV.
Okay, Neil, we can see you coming down the ladder now.
I'm at the foot of the ladder. The lamb footbeds are only depressed in the surface about 1 or 2 inches, although the surface appears to be very, very fine-grained.
as you get close to it. It's almost like a powder. Ground mass is very fine. I'm going to step off the land now. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Surface is fine and powdery. I can pick it up loosely with my toe. It does adhere in fine layers, like powdered charcoal, to the sole and sides of my boots. I only go in a fraction of an inch, maybe an eighth of an inch, but I can see the footprints of my boots and the treads in the fine sandy particles. Neil, this is Houston, we're copying. There seems to be no difficulty in moving around as we suspected. It's even perhaps easier than the simulations of 1/6G that we performed in various simulations on the ground. Absolutely no trouble to walk around.
Oh, that's so special, Sarah. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I was explaining to some other RNZ colleagues of yours that the recordings that we have in the sound archives, I think probably that are in archives all over the world, were supplied, and the coverage was supplied by Voice of America. And so we don't have any sort of, you know, local radio coverage of it. All the audio, the feed from Houston, and the commentary that went around it came from Voice of America. But this audio was, of course, you know, incredibly popular. Everyone realised what a historic event it was, and you could buy your own copy. It was released on on a 45 RPM disc, which is called The Story and Sound of the Apollo 11 Landing.
Cool.
We've put some pictures of the cover of that, because it's rather fab, up on the website. Or you could go the whole nine yards, and there was an LP with even more of the audio of the Apollo mission. And they've got fold-out posters of the rocket, and there's portrait shots of the astronauts. You know, I'm sure lots of kids were very keen to buy one of those in the day. And there's also an insert in it, which was written by a New Zealand astronomer and broadcaster, Peter Reid, who people may remember. He was on TV for quite a long time. He passed away in 1981, but he had a TV series that went on right through the 60s and early 70s called The Night Sky. And he was really New Zealand's go-to man when it came to talking about the space race and the Apollo missions. And I think we've put a link up to a video of some of the best of The Night Sky up on your webpage too for today.
Great. So, hey, Sarah, can I say this? We've got a few people getting in touch with their memories.
Cool. Great.
Alan says he remembers driving around Wellington in his VW Beetle listening to the landing on the radio, and it seemed remarkably immediate. Ellison, we were gathered in the school hall to listen to the moon landing first steps on a radio. Our headmaster phoned NZBC to complain about the poor sound quality. Marin missed uni for the day, spread all the newspapers on the floor, listened to the landing on the radio, then took a photo of the newspaper pics the moment that Neil stepped on the moon's surface, and still has the photo. And then I think this is my favourite. We listened to the broadcast at the Edenvale School for Dental Nurses, ate our chocolate whoppers, then sang Fox on the Run. How 1969 is that?
That is great. And, of course, the other thing, speaking of songs of the era, Space Oddity by David Bowie was released just shortly before. I know Kim Hill did a great interview on Saturday with I think it's Mitch Goodwin, who's sort of a musicologist, all about that song and you know, why and how Bowie came to write it around this period. So that would have been playing as well.
Yeah.
So the final cut today, I wanted to get some reaction from New Zealanders, and we've got no Vox Pops or anything from 1969 in the archives, which is a shame, but they, you know, radio was a bit different back then, and perhaps they felt, because it was a foreign event, an overseas event, maybe, that, you know, they didn't archive that kind of thing. But what we do have is from 1989, when there were events to commemorate the 20th anniversary. Huh. And this is last cut as Morning Report talking to some famous New Zealanders of their memories of that day in 1969. And they start with Dame Cath Tizard, who was at that point the mayor of Auckland. And in 1969, she was teaching at Auckland University.
Okay, Sarah, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
It was the first time ever I allowed stage one zoology students to bring their transistors into the laboratory. We had a class that afternoon, but it seemed to me that this was such a momentous occasion that the rules ought to be waived to allow us to actually hear the first words of a man on the moon.
Well, with New Zealand lacking a satellite receiving dish, the moon landing turned into a great day for radio. Colin McLean produced the coverage for the New Zealand Broadcasting Corporation.
It was live, the Voice of America. Coverage of it was absolutely tremendous, and it was very descriptive, absolutely descriptive, and you could feel that you were right there with them. The Voice of America commentators, of course, had the added advantage of having television to watch, and they could picture and describe what they were seeing on television to the radio audience. Yes, it was a real radio first.
Opposition leader Jim Bolger remembers having to go to a neighbour's to watch the television broadcast because he didn't own a set on that remarkable day.
It was one of the more remarkable experiences. It brought in very sharp focus the incredible talents of the people behind the scheme.
Do you actually remember what you thought at the time?
I think, like everyone, I was amazed at the technology and wondered where we'd be in 20 years' time in terms of moon travel. And frankly, we're not much further.
And where was one of the first two men to stand on the highest point on Earth when Neil Armstrong stood on the moon? Sir Ed Hillary scratched his head.
Well, I regret to say I can't record that at all. I have actually met Neil Armstrong, and I actually went to the North Pole with Neil Armstrong, who's a very charming person. But I'm afraid I have no recollection of precisely what I was doing when he actually set foot on the moon.
You think he might have been up a mountain?
I could have been, yes.
It's Sir Edmund Hillary. He, by the way, would have turned 100 on July 20th, this Saturday, the anniversary of the moon landing. So happy birthday, Sir Ed, as well. And thanks again to the team from Ngā Taonga Sound and Vision for that fantastic memory of 50 years ago.